If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
People go missing every single day. It's an unfortunate fact of life. But what are you supposed to do when police won't do anything about your missing loved one because of the lifestyle they chose to live? In the case I'm presenting today, we have a detective that went out of her way to be heard. At least 11 missing women, and an entire community that was misled about the probability that a serial killer was walking among them. Welcome to another intriguing episode of All Things Mysterious, the podcast where all the realms of true crime, supernatural, and the unexplained converge. I'm your host, Jordan.
I'm Matt.
We're ready to plunge into today's fascinating mysteries. Let's dive right in. The setting is Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the year is 2005. Detective Ida Lopez was assigned to be the singular detective in the Albuquerque Missing Persons Unit and was handed over files of a few missing women. She realized quickly that the missing women seemed to have the same characteristics. They were sex workers, addicts, and appeared to even be the same race. Unfortunately, very little work had been done to find these women. Rumors began to circulate that there was a killer taking out prostitutes and dumping them in West Mesa. But with nothing else to go on aside from rumor, all Ida could do was try and find the missing women, and if she couldn't identify them, make them easy to identify if they were found. She went to their families, got DNA samples, dental records, anything she could find. But the rumor kept going, and unfortunately, the missing persons list kept growing. By 2009, it was over 17 women that fit the same description. Then, on February 2, 2009, a woman named Christina Ross had taken her dog out for a walk in a nearby field. They lived in an unfinished housing development in West Mesa, Albuquerque. While playing, the dog suddenly stopped to chew at something sticking out of the ground, which turned out to be a bone. Christina thought the bone looked odd, texted a picture of it to her sister, who was a registered nurse, and her sister responded quickly that she was pretty sure that was a human femur. At that point, she called 911 and the police came out. It was, in fact, a human femur, and very quickly, it was discovered to be a mass grave.
So first off, it really surprises me how many cases involve sex workers being the victims. Seems like that's how all serial killers make it so long.
It really does bother me because so many of them, they target sex workers because it's so quote unquote easy for them to go missing because of them living such a, I'm going to say transient lifestyle, because a lot of the time they will go missing for a few days or whatever. They'll go out of town. They'll go away with somebody. Or maybe they just don't have a specific place that they stay, making it difficult for them to be found.
Yeah, I get that. But I think it also boils down to a lot of cops thinking that they don't deserve justice. I don't necessarily think they all intentionally think that, but that's definitely the way they act. Because I know we've done so many cases involving sex workers and disappearing, and it's always the same thing.
Well, I mean, look at, you recently did Jack the Ripper. I think that was like the very first quote-unquote serial killer. And all of those were also sex workers, if I'm right.
Yep. And that's the other thing is like, I'm doing a serial killer this week too. And same thing. They were all sex workers. It seems to be, for most part, like serial killers, when they pick their victims, it's either A, serial killers, or B, young couples.
Do you mean sex workers?
What'd I say?
Serial killers.
Yeah, sex workers. Sorry. I'm getting over being sick. So bear with me today. It always seems to be their victims are always sex workers or young couples.
Everybody seems to look down on those people, and it really bothers me because if I were to delve into the stories of these 11 women, so many of them had the most promising futures. And then all it takes is one thing to happen, like one horrible bad thing, right? I know like one of them, for instance, she was a cheerleader. And she was in this great relationship, and she was living with her boyfriend. And then her boyfriend was in a car accident, got into a coma. She lost her housing. She lost everything. And unfortunately, she turned to drugs. And I'm assuming after she turned to that, she probably went into sex work to fund the habit. I don't know if that's exactly what happened. I'm not 100% sure. But the thing is, all it takes is one bad thing to happen for your life to just go completely haywire.
I personally think as a society, we need to take care of everyone. Target sex workers, target homeless people. You're probably never going to get caught. But you target a wealthy white family in the South, you're going to probably get caught in a day.
It's really sad, but you're completely right.
It's stupid. People are people. Anybody who gets murdered should have justice.
I agree, because every single life means something, period.
Unless you're a politician.
Fair. Over the course of the next year, 11 bodies were able to be identified, and one of them had a fetus. The housing development had churned the burial grounds, making it a giant puzzle for the medical examiners to solve and piece together. But because Detective Lopez was amazing and thought ahead to get dental records from the families of the missing people, many of the victims were able to be identified quickly. In this order, they were identified as Victoria Chavez, 26 years old, identified on February 11, 2009. Michelle Valdez, 22, identified February 26, 2009. She was 4 months pregnant, and the remains of her child were also found inside of her remains. Cinnamon Elks, 32 years old, was ID'd March 11th, 2009. Julie Nieto, 24 years old, ID'd March 11th as well. Monica Candelaria, 22 years old, and Veronica Romero, 28 years old, both ID'd April 3rd, 2009. Doreen Marquez, 24 years old, was ID'd April 21st, 2009. Zelania Edwards, ID'd June 4th, 2009. Evelyn Salazar, 27 years old, ID'd November 28th, as well as Virginia Cloven, 24 years old, also ID'd November 18th, 2009. And the last victim, Jamie Barella, 15 years old, January 26th, 2010, the last one to be identified. All of these women, except one, had sex work and drug addiction in common. And the only one who did not was Jamie Barella, who was 15. Jamie was a cousin to Evelyn Salazar and was most likely a victim of circumstance. All of these women went missing between 2003 and 2005 in what was commonly called the war zone, an area frequented by prostitution and drug use. Unfortunately, with the time that had elapsed and the partial development at the burial site, almost no evidence was found. And the best guess from the medical examiners on how these women died was strangulation due to lack of other evidence. When you find something like a burial ground like this, and this bothers me a lot, when they were literally turning the ground, how did you not see that?
Well, I mean, it depends on how far they dug and how far the bodies were buried.
The bone was literally sticking out of the ground. Some of them were literally, like, less than a foot underneath the ground.
The bones could, you know, rise up from the ground with erosion and water going into it.
I mean, fair, but, like, they were digging still. I don't know. That just really bothered me because I just felt like at some point, I just feel like I would have seen something, but that's just me.
And here's the kind of unspoken part. You know, whenever construction crews find bones or any kind of stuff like that, they may have an incentive not to say anything because obviously if it becomes a crime scene, they're not going to be able to dig.
Fair, but so irritating.
It is. I'm curious because obviously when a serial killer just stops, you know, there's got to be a reason why. Does a serial killer ever stop on their own, or do they die? Do they get arrested for something else? Why do they just stop?
That's also what I was wondering. So obviously, we're pretty sure the reason that the burial site stopped being this burial site because the housing development started right about 2006. So obviously, at the very least, he stopped using this burial site. So it's definitely possible that either he started using a different burial site, or there's also the possibility that he died, or maybe he's in prison for something completely different.
Yeah, or maybe he just moved on to a new area.
Yeah, exactly. Or just moved entirely. You never know. It's always possible, especially since they were working on that housing site, that he thought he was going to get caught. So he just left right out of there.
It just amazes me that whenever just serial killers just randomly stop for no reason. Always makes you think that, you know, they moved on to somewhere else and their cases just never got connected.
It's definitely possible, especially with the basically zero evidence that we have in this one.
There's a lot of cases like that. I don't know. It's just weird. I wonder if this guy killed other people, and if so, where.
Does make you wonder if there's still a serial killer out there in a completely different city, and you just don't know because cops are doing exactly the same thing, and there's not a Detective Ida Lopez on the case.
I mean, to be fair, she hasn't figured it out yet either, though.
No, but at the very least, she figured out there was some sort of something going on, and she was trying to do something about it. Did she figure out who it was? No. But she was doing something, especially for, you know, the singular detective basically on the case. I have a lot of respect for that woman.
Yeah, me too. But it goes to show you how much Albuquerque actually cares about missing people, though.
That's true. I would expect a missing persons unit with basically one detective in a city the size of the one we record in, like Web City. Which is like, I don't know, 10,000 people?
I would expect more than that.
I don't know how it works. It confuses me. Everything confuses me.
Now I'm kind of curious if we even have a, you know, missing persons unit in Joplin.
Does make you wonder.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
At this time, the police were trying desperately to find the killer. So many suspects. But where do you begin? If you start with just a simple hatred for people in sex work, that's unfortunately a very long list. so they looked for violence against sex workers as well. The thing is, the killings could either have stopped in 2005 or 2006 due to the housing development starting to be built, or the killer could have just found a new burial ground. There are still more women on Ida Lopez's missing persons list that fit the perfect criteria, and to this day, they have not been found. Did they stop, or did they go to prison for something else? We have plenty of suspects to go over. The first suspect that I present is a pimp named Fred Reynolds. He knew at least one of the missing women and had pictures of several others, and he was seen asking around about the other missing women. Personally, I think he was more worried about his wallet and/or merchandise and not necessarily a suspect. He died in 2009.
Yeah, don't buy this one. Typically, you don't want to kill the people who make you the money.
See, that's where I was at with this. Like, I read that he was a suspect, and my first reaction was just, I'm pretty sure he was just trying to watch out for his own women.
And it also seemed like he was the only one that was actually investigating it.
I really feel like he honestly was, and he really wasn't super heavily investigated out of all of the other people I look into. There are only a couple others. But he wasn't really considered a super big suspect, and I don't think he really did it, to be honest. But it was a little sketchy that he was basically going around asking about things, and a lot of people think that's weird, but I honestly think he was just looking out for his own people, and not necessarily in a good way, but I think that's what he was doing.
One thing that I've noticed in all these cases, there's always one suspect who is almost too good to be true. Like, too easy, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. He definitely fits that profile. It just doesn't make sense for him to kill that many and then go around asking for him.
No, that wouldn't be a good business model.
I don't buy this one. Probably one of your worst theories.
I agree, to be honest. I had to put it down, but I agree.
In fact, it's so bad that I'm not even going to grade it.
I agree with you on that, actually. Not even fighting you.
Well, that makes it no fun.
A photographer from the Joplin, Missouri area that traveled often to Albuquerque was also a main suspect. His name is Ron Irwin. Ron was quickly cleared after discovering all the women he had photos of were either alive or had passed away from other circumstances. His photos were basically of women who were known to be alive, but appearing very dead. I literally had to mention him because we are from Joplin, and if this isn't the most Joplin thing I've ever mentioned, I don't know what is. However, he was cleared entirely.
The sad part is that name sounds really familiar.
Doesn't it, though?
I don't know where I know him from.
Sounds familiar to me, but regardless, he was completely cleared. All the women in his pictures, I think one of them died from natural causes. Aside from that, all the rest were found alive perfectly fine. They were just really weird pictures. Really weird, in my opinion.
My question is, why did he travel to Albuquerque a lot?
There was a state fair, like a photographer fair thing that he went to.
That's the only time he traveled there?
He traveled there for that fair thing.
Okay. Cool.
And I think he had taken pictures of some of the women, which is how he was connected. It was kind of a weak connection, but just the fact that he was from Joplin.
Makes sense, honestly.
Listen, we're from Joplin. This place is weird, okay?
Very weird.
He was completely cleared, though.
Weak sauce. So I'm going to give it a negative WS for weak sauce.
One of the two main suspects is a man named Joseph Blee. He was turned in by his ex-wife when she and his daughter found clothing and jewelry that didn't belong to them in their home after hearing about the West Mesa murders. He was known to frequent the war zone and police knew him very well. Currently, he is serving time for unrelated sexual assault crimes from the 80s and 90s. His cellmate says he has admitted to having sex with many of the West Mesa women. And in addition to this, when he was arrested, one of over 100 times he has met with police, he was found with electrical tape and rope in his car and was also known to stalk the women in the war zone.
All right, so obviously he got arrested for sexual assault. Now, does that mean that he would escalate to murder? Because he's never been charged with any kind of murder, I assume.
No. It's not to say that he wouldn't escalate at some point, but he's done some seriously sketchy stuff.
Oh, yeah. But just because he's done seriously sketchy stuff doesn't mean he's a murderer either.
No, I agree. And I will say he has never actually come out said that he killed anyone, but he is serving basically life at this point for a whole bunch of sexual assault.
Yeah, he's a scumbag, definitely.
Well, and he's not the last suspect that we have. We do have one more, and I like the last one. I like the last one more than this one.
I'll give this one a negative POSBNG.
And that stands for what?
Piece of shit, but not guilty.
Oh my God. The last suspect that I have for you today is Lorenzo Montoya. Unfortunately, we may never know if he was the West Mesa Bone Collector, because in 2006, he met up with a sex worker for a dance. Then he proceeded to try and strangle her to death. The dancer's pimp was waiting for her nearby and realized that she'd been taking quite a while. When he went to go check on her, he realized what was happening and saved her life by shooting and killing Lorenzo on the spot. Most likely, this was not the first time Lorenzo had done something along these lines. He appeared to be very practiced and methodical. But now that he's dead, we may never know.
Okay, so obviously that's pretty incriminating. But again, to play devil's advocate here, we don't actually know how these women died.
No, we don't, which is the bad part. Because the remains were so far gone, we don't know. Because we know for sure they weren't shot.
Well, but how do we know that, though?
There was no, like, bone fragments, like, missing or anything along those lines. Unless they were shot somewhere where there would have been no bone fragment missing or anything like that and bled out.
Which is very much possible because they could have been shot in the gut. As long as we're on the side of the spine, there's going to be really no bones down there that can chip off.
That's true. But there were also no bullets found, anything like that. They did sift through all the soil. There were no bullets found.
But that's also assuming that they were actually murdered there.
That's true. If it was left behind, it would have been found. It is, like, the best guess, and that's the worst part, is they don't 100% know. It's a guess.
I mean, it is a guess. You just don't know, because they could have been shot, they could have been stabbed. A lot of times, whenever people are shot or stabbed, it doesn't leave any marks on the bones.
Yeah, and that's pretty much all that was left, was just skeletal remains.
Yeah. So, I'm obviously not a profiler or any kind of detective or anything. I do spend a lot of time thinking, and, you know, I spend a lot of time researching cases like this. I'm absolutely fascinated with serial killer cases, and there seems to be two distinct types of serial killers. There's the almost showboating ones that I call.
Oh, yeah, the ones that almost want to be caught.
Yeah, the ones that, you know, taunt police and all that stuff. And then there's the ones that I call ghost serial killers.
Yeah, they just seem to do it for the kill alone.
Yeah, and don't want to taunt, don't want to do anything. Those are the ones that scare me the most.
They go under the radar.
Not only that, but they seem to be able to kill effectively and kill without drawing suspicion. Because a lot of these cases like that, how many bodies before they actually find out that it's a serial killer? A lot of them are multiples.
Well, and another thing that really bothers me about this case is that we know for sure there were rumors going around for ages about a serial killer, right? We know for a fact there are rumors going around. Did anybody really and truly investigate that? No, they were just like, oh no, a serial killer. What? No.
But honestly, again, to play devil's advocate, unless these bodies weren't found together, there would probably be nothing that would actually tie them together. Because you could have 50 women who disappeared, and they could all be similar in some way. But that doesn't mean that they were all killed by the same person.
No, that's true. I mean, don't get me wrong. All except one were the same race. They were all Hispanic. One was black. They were all sex workers and at least into drugs, possibly drug addicts. So they all had that going for them. They all kind of had the same lifestyle, if you will. And I'm not saying that in any sort of negative way, but it does fit a certain criteria. And it does fit a certain bill if a serial killer is looking for a certain someone. And it does kind of make me wonder about the one young black woman that he went after. But it just irritates the living crap out of me because it took so long for anybody. We basically had to find the mass grave for people to really listen.
So obviously, in cases like this, I think you need to figure out why he chooses the victims he does.
I agree.
But I give this one negative PBU.
Okay, and that stands for?
Plausible, but unlikely.
Rude. Because one detective took the time to take these missing women seriously, 11 women were able to be quickly identified and brought home to their loved ones. A person's choice of work, their struggles with addiction, does not define whether or not they are worth looking for. One person took the time to listen and go above and beyond. Thank you for joining us on this journey through all things mysterious. Your engagement is what makes this so rewarding. If you've enjoyed uncovering these mysteries with us, please show your support by liking, subscribing, and following us on your favorite listening platform. For more intriguing content and ways to stay connected, don't forget to check us out on our links in the description below. Your involvement is the key to unlocking more thrilling mysteries.
As always, we keep you guessing.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.